great. Amen. So how are we doing? First of all, I do thank all of you who have prayed for me and my family through this journey that we've been on. I thank all of you guys that have prayed for me even now as I get up to speak. I really feel your prayers and I needed your prayers. I also want to thank the leadership of this church. It's an amazing leadership group. You guys are awesome. Richard is a great friend of mine, and a lot of the reason of why I'm actually here in this ministry is because I love him dearly, he loves me dearly, and he has never, ever steered me on the wrong path in all my years of knowing him. As I was trying to prepare for today's message, and y'all have to bear with me, my eyes are cloudy, I've been emotional all week long. Good friend of ours, you guys from the Stone Mountain area, you might know Ray McGinnis. He lost his battle with his illness that he was going through, and he passed earlier this week. And that's always tough when you have to think about situations like that. Dear friend of ours, but pray for his family and pray for all of us who will be encouraging them during this time and trying to help them through this time. There are many, many things that I can talk about, and I wasn't sure where to go, but I was going to tell you a little bit about my journey. Your journey is the Christian's journey. Human experiences tell us that we're going to go through all kind of stuff in this life. You might as well get ready for it. You're going to face disappointments. You're going to face challenges galore. You're going to face all kind of things as you live this life, as you walk down this road, as you keep the faith. As you try as hard as you can to be a Christian, no matter what the circumstances are. And guys, I got to tell you, it's hard. It is hard. I've had the opportunity to be on both sides of this thing, and it's harder still. I didn't even know how to do a basic sermon outline. It's like it just left. I got papers all over the place, so if I jump back and forth and go all over the place, just understand I do love God. And it was all good when he was trying to get it together. But we go through things. There's a passage of scripture that we're going to read, and even the title of it, when you get there, you can go ahead and be turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to talk about treasures in jars of clay. And I think that is fitting for this particular time in my life. Richard said, I asked, so what do you want me to talk about? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, what you've been studying out, what you've been learning, that's what is always interesting to me. And then, as Richard said, brother, preach the word. Amen. So we're going to be reading in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. Now, before we read this passage, I want to make sure we understand the culture of the times. Because when you look at this particular passage, we live in a world where our self-esteem is very important. And we have to try hard to not trample on anybody's self-esteem. We don't want to put others down. We don't want to talk about anybody. We don't want to ridicule anybody. We don't want to do those things. But when you read this, and this is not talking about you all or talking about me or anything like that, God just kind of puts it very straight to us because being a Christian, I've learned one thing. You do have to grow up and you have to kind of man up or woman up or whichever phrase you choose to use. You have to do these things and you have to kind of stand up on your own two feet, so to speak. No matter how much they hurt or how tired you are. I appreciate Bill so much when he did the welcome this morning. He and I talk from time to time. We got these weird hours that we work. And you just come in and you're worn out. You're tired. You don't want to give. It's hard. It is hard. So the kind of world that we live in, it's that way. You've got to be this way and that way. You can't be like what we're going to talk about now. Amen? Let me try to read it all for you, and then we're just going to pick a few things out, and then I'm going to get on out the way. Amen? Starting in verse 1 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. You know, that's a lot. There's a lot going on in this particular passage of Scripture, and treasures. When you think about treasures and where to look for treasures, it's not, the world standard doesn't think about it as to what Paul is talking about here, because he has entrusted this priceless treasure to crackpots, jars of clay. You ever been to Home Depot? My wife will get the urge to plant something, and she'll send me out, and we'll go looking for a pot, and you go over to the thing. Even on the shelves, when you're looking at clay pots, you have to go through a whole lot of them before you get to one that's not cracked or falling apart. And so when the world teaches us to look for treasures, it's not that way. We will take the most prized possessions that we have, and we will go to a bank, and we'll put it in a safe deposit box. We will lock it up. We'll do anything. We won't put it in something like this. But yet, that's what God has done, and that's what he has chose to do with you and I. When he gave us the gift of his spirit, and when his son gave us his life to give us the lives that we have, into these empty, useless pots of clay, he put this priceless treasure. I want you to think about that. We were, many, many years ago, 1990-something, we had a home and it was broken into. I had one of these, I go to Sears and I would buy everything. I believe in Sears. I used to work there, so I, you know, Craftsman tools and all that stuff. But I bought this fireproof box and all our important things were in there. At least I thought all our important things was in there. So our house got ransacked. My wife was pregnant, I believe with Matthew at the time, and she was at work, and I was at work, and we got a call, and you know that feeling when you come home, you just lost everything. They just ransacked the place. And that box, well, it didn't last long. It was broken in half, and there was nothing in there valuable other than insurance papers and birth certificates, different things like that. But lo and behold, when my wife got there, she went right into the closet. There was this big popcorn can about this big. I just, you know, you give about these big things of popcorn during Christmas. That's some gifts you used to do. And she grabbed this popcorn can, and inside of that was towels. But then in the very bottom of that was like $3,500 that she had been saving. We don't put our valuables in stuff like that, but maybe Patsy does. I'm just trying to tell you, that's how that goes. And we were grateful that she did that, and, you know, that was awesome. But getting back to where we are, that's not the norm, is to just think that, you know, this is... That's like, what is that comparable to? Well, think about the crown jewels being put into a plastic bag and just sitting somewhere on the side of the road. We're talking tens of millions of dollars worth of jewels and stuff. Think about all the money that you can ever imagine. You just have it out in plain sight to see. You would not do that. But yet, this is what God did when he gave us this treasure. And this is what Paul is pointing out to us. Maybe when Paul is even thinking about this particular treasure in this jar of clay, he was thinking about that road to Damascus because he was blinded by this light. Because we talk about what a treasure is and how it is, where it's that light of glory, light and glory that we have as Christians. That's what he's going back and he was referring to in verse 4 and verse 6 of what we just read. And so we have to keep looking at that, and maybe as he is making this whole thing, he's talking about, this is what I went through, and therefore, you and I, we have to walk that road that has been carved out for us as Christians. A little bit about my journey and how I got here. As many of you guys know, I worked in the fire services for 18 years. I resigned from the fire department and said, God, we are going to go anywhere, do anything, give up everything for you. And thus we went into the full-time ministry and we began that new position on January 2000. And we were able to be over in Stone Mountain and stay there for 5 years, and then eventually we went back to Athens, and then at the beginning of 2010 we were let go. And you have to understand, from my perspective, being a proud black African-American male who has worked all of my adult life, taking care of my family the best way I could, that was devastating to me. I didn't quite understand. And sometimes when Christians say something or do something to us, it's like it's equally just hard to accept. See, the fact of the matter is, I knew what was going to happen as I continued to work and be a part of the ministry that I was a part of. I knew what was about to happen in terms of where we was headed and how things were going. But even then, it was hard to accept. Can you relate to that? Can many of you relate to that? And so my journey began all over again. I think it was the last time I ever got in front of a church and preached to anybody was actually at this congregation. Yeah. And it was I started out in James chapter 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials. What? Pure joy? Man, please. And so being proud and wanting to take care of your family, that was something that was hard to accept. So as you are going down this road and you're traveling and all these obstacles get in your way, and there's an old song that say, don't move my mountain, just give me the strength to climb. And it was then that I had to start praying, God, I'm going to need all the strength I can to climb, but you don't want to do that on your own accord. That's why the one another passages are so awesome in the Bible, because we have to rely on each other. And immediately getting that news, the next phone call I had was to Richard Alloway, Mike Pope, Scott Kirkpatrick, Ben Barnett. These are men who I have fought the good fight with and continue to fight the good fight with. Brothers that I love tremendously, and because I know them and they know me, they will tell me the truth and they will continue to speak the truth in love, even in bad situations. So if you wonder if getting together and talking to each other is not important, it is very important. I wouldn't be standing here if we didn't get together. And those brothers immediately got in there, because when you're going through something, when you're having a difficult time and you're trying to figure out what needs to happen, you fall back to what you know. And what you're comfortable with, and what I know and what I'm comfortable with, is fighting. Knocking jokers out. I mean, that just seemed to work back in the day. And you can have all of this kind of stuff, and you know you're in a bad place when you talk to people and it becomes they and them and them jokers. Just, you understand where I'm coming from. I don't talk like everybody else. I'm from Noonan, Georgia, so a little country gonna come out. But the thing that you have to understand is, we're talking about this journey. We're talking about this jar of clay that's just falling apart. And most of you that talk to me now, my knees are shot. I was gonna try to put the mic on and walk around a little bit. Nope, that ain't gonna work. So I'm just gonna stand right here. And so, It's devastating, and you go through this thing, and that journey began, another part of the journey, because prior to that, I had lost my mom, and then it seemed like they just got stacking on top, and you go through. I got a wife, I got two sons, I'm trying to steer them straight, and trying to stay the faith and not check out. And they have their own roads that they're traveling on because of the things that happen. Now, so, where was I? I got mad. Resorted back to Anthony. Then I got the help that I needed. And then halfway down the road, I got to thinking, I ain't never, ever going to trust nobody else again. But the brothers are still there. Okay? We are trusting God. Yeah? Check that off. Well, you got to also go back and you got to do this. No. And then that's a whole personal battle that you go through of just going back, because you have to be able to resolve differences. You have to be able to go back and talk through so you can get to where you're going. And so it was awesome as time went on. Now, this has been a 2-year journey, and it's still going, actually. But it was so amazing to go back, because some of the greatest things that I've ever done in front of the church actually happened in Athens, Georgia, if you really want to know the truth about it. Some of the greatest relationships I've ever had are with some of the brothers and sisters in Athens. And one of the greatest preachers that I had the opportunity to work with was Sam Lane. And so it was amazing to be able to get to a place where you can sit and you can talk and you can communicate. Because we are all on the same team and we're trying to go in the same direction. But God has entrusted this wonderful message in these fragile jars of clay. What is this treasure? Well, it identifies that, as I said, in verse 4 and verse 6. But then, you've heard, your treasure is what you find yourself doing the most. What you find yourself giving up the most to obtain. Now, you can all do your own personal assessments, but you'll answer that. As for me, I had to go and start doing this. I needed a job. Hello, welcome to Zaxby's. My name is Anthony. How may I help you? Will you be dining in with us? I'm a system manager at Zaxby's. I just thought I'd throw that in, but evidently y'all don't know about Zaxby's. And you get sidetracked and you get to doing all these hours and working and all of those different things, and you say to yourself, God, how did I get to this point in time in my life? How did I get to this place where I'm starting all over again? But you know, it's good to start over again because you get to assess where you have come from. And the cool thing about starting over again, I got to do just that, to make a grown-up decision, an assessment of my life from there to where I am right now. And at just the right time, God has put me where He needs for me to grow and flourish. And it's about the story of Jesus and His life. That's the light. That's what our lives are to reflect as we continue to call ourselves the Christians that we call ourselves. In sickness, in pain, in good health, in bad health, it's still about we are a jar of clay, but we have this precious, precious gift from God, and that needs to be seen by everybody. And so many times when we go through difficult times, we have a tendency to back away from that and say, not now. The hardest thing in coming back was, I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't really feel like I need to help anybody. And what was amazing about this ministry, and I remember when we sat down with Richard and Sarah, we sat down and they said, you know, you guys have served people for many, many years, and it's about time that somebody served you. I didn't know how to accept that, but it brought tears to my eyes because it was so amazing to be able to come here and just have you guys serve us. And you didn't literally come up and do this and give us this and that, but the mere fact that we came here and you guys just say, they're the offers. Okay, they're here with us. Wasn't a whole lot of talking that was necessary during that time. It was just the fact that we came, you guys embraced us in that way, and we truly, truly appreciate that. We truly appreciate that. But think for a moment that the most precious treasure on earth is within sinful, mortal, frail human creatures like us. The most valuable treasure ever is within these earthen vessels, so to speak. I worked at Zaxby's, just had my 2-year anniversary. They are big on advertising. And advertising is something that I've kind of fallen in love with because that's my job and that's where I work. But advertising is what it's all about. And they're going to put the most money in making sure that you not only see the store, but when you come in the store, the pictures of the food look like you can just reach up and eat it. You know what I'm saying? It's beautiful. It's outstanding. It's amazing. If you buy perfume, according to statistics, I didn't know this. I was doing a little research. Approximately 60% of the cost of the perfume goes into the bottle that is in the container and the box. I mean, that's like, wow. And that's how we think about it. And so all of those things are designed to get your eyes on that. And some people will sell their souls to get different things, those shiny red apples or whatever those things may be. You'll give it all away so you can obtain those things. And so we're talking about these pots, these jars of clay. Well, Paul actually borrowed this from when the Roman armies would go out and they would fight these battles and they would win these wars and they would come back from with the spoils of war. They carried all the plunder and all the silver, the gold, and everything in clay pots. And the reason for doing that was not so that all the people would see, you know, the container, but what's in the container. And again, this is what God has done for you and I. He has given us this wonderful light, this glorious light, in the clay pot so that He gets the glory and not us. You know, it's amazing when you get in your 50s, you think you're nearing this, and I'm learning and learning more and more about how to be calm in situations that I might think are bad or you might think are bad. It's just, this is another stumbling block. This is another road. This is another crook in the road that I'm on that's, I got to keep moving. We got to keep moving. You got to keep persevering. You got to keep going that way. Do you realize what this means in terms of jars of clay? But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Do you realize what this means? It means that Jesus needs to shine through us individually and also as a church. This church, we're different. We're in the food court of a high school. But think about it. This treasure that we're talking about, this treasure that this passage is talking about, what Paul is trying to get us to see here, is more valuable than this whole school. As a matter of fact, it's more valuable than the whole county. It's more valuable than any church building. Because if you look around and take all of this stuff away, we're still here. We are the church. We are God's church. We are God's people. And then we have to continue to project that light. We have to continue to walk down that road of hardship and ache and pain, whatever it is. I look around the room and you see different people and they're going through, we're all going through something. Having faith in troubled times is a hard thing to do. Sometimes you may say, well, I ain't worthy. I'm not worthy. But isn't it amazing as you study the scriptures to see that God took people, ordinary people, Moses is a good example. He's a man who stuttered, a murderer, and a coward who lived his best years in obscurity. Yet God's chosen man to the end, he was God's chosen man to end 400 years of exile in Egypt. Gideon, he's the least of his family. From the least of the tribe of Israel, but the one who led Israel to victory over a cruel enemy. David was an adulterer, a murderer, a poor example of a father when you really study that thing out. Yet the Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. And on it goes. Jeremiah felt he was too young. Abraham and Sarah felt they were too old. Ruth was a foreign widow with no future. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips. You think about the disciples, the followers of Jesus. They complained, they slept, they did everything that they shouldn't be done. But yet, through all of that, keep reading. Don't ever assume that you are not worthy of this treasure that you have. Because when life throws you a curveball, then the biggest thing with me was that I started to feel like I'm not worthy. I started to feel like I don't want to do this anymore. And it's through all of that, as I sit and I think about it now, and as I was trying with all my heart to prepare for this, it's like there's too much. It's like a continuous sermon that's been going on for the last 2 years and is still running. I don't know what your lives are like right now or what you're going through right now, but as for me, that's what it's been all along. I've had some great conversations with my son Marcus, and he's here. We don't know how much our kids are affected by things that go on in our lives. And it's been during this time that I have a good idea and a great idea of how much it has truly affected him. But as a good father who's trying to raise godly, righteous young men, as a son, you got to keep fighting. You got to persevere. Now's not the time to quit. You're on your own road. And when they get 20 years old, it's like, you know, I need to tell you that you're going to do this. And I said, well, let me offer you some suggestions as you continue to go. And I offer suggestions. Some stick, some don't. But I love him, and we're going to keep praying for him, and we're going to know that God is still in control, and he's not finished with him yet. Thus, he's not finished with any of us yet. But it's how we relate to what goes on in our lives. It's, woe with me. I have fallen. I can't get up. I don't know if it, and it's excuse after excuse after excuse. Now, honestly, there are some situations where some people can fall and they can't get up. When I worked in public safety all of those years, we ran up on situation after situation after situation where people just had certain things that they could not endure. And we were like their guardian angels, so to speak. And we come in and we get them up. And if you work in the medical field, you know, you've got to get them from here to there and different things like that. And I think all of those times, and even the 10 years I've been in the ministry, the 18 years I've been with the fire department, the 15 years of working at Sears, the 2 years of being at Zaxby's, have all helped me to understand the importance of the gospel message, the treasure that's in this jar of clay. So not only am I just a manager at Zaxby's, but I am a Christian, godly, righteous man who loves to preach the Bible. See, I have a congregation. And it's starting to work. It's starting to catch hold. I didn't quite see it until, again, you get somebody else in your life and they talk to you and you start telling them about certain situations that are going on. The fact of the matter is I share my faith every day. I don't have any daughters, biological daughters, but I have like several of them that have adopted me as their father at work. I don't quite understand that, but I do now. And they confide in me. They ask me different things. They want to. One asked the other day if I could come to your church, and if you could take me to one of those Feed the Hungry things and different things like, because all I'm doing is just sharing about what I've been through, not in great detail, but this is how I went. Well, how did you get here to Zaxby's? That's what most people want to know. How, what brought you here? I don't know. I needed a job, but there were great brothers and sisters that helped that to happen. But now when I got there, and you think about being there, it's like you don't focus on why you are truly there. One is you're there to make money and all that. That's the obvious. You know that. But then God has a purpose wherever he has planted us. He has a purpose for us. And so the thing is, I'm a jar of clay. I'm not that attractive. However, some jars they look good. My wife is a good-looking jar of clay. Yeah. If you're married, brothers, I would suggest you say the same thing to your wives. But it's like, I have something to offer regardless of what I've been through. I still have a purpose in this life. Bad knees, bad feet, bad heart, bad everything, whatever it is, God has given me an assignment. That light needs to be a brilliant light. It needs to shine all the time, 100% of the time. Do not put it under a bowl. Do not hide it. Study this out more. I've jumped all over the place. I got notes, didn't even use them, so that's not good. But I do want to tell you guys this in closing. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come before you. If I ever get the opportunity again, I will make sure I get back to the whole outline and do it the right way and make it sound right. But this morning this is what was on my heart. There's so much more. I can't say it all. I won't say it all, but come and talk to me from time to time. I don't know that I know everything, but this is one jar of clay to another jar of clay that our treasure is is worth more than we can ever imagine. The people that are suffering are the ones that don't know that they are just a jar of clay. They got the bling on, they got everything else trying to be seen, but that's all they are. And what we need to do is go out there and call them out and get them to where we are, and then they too will understand the importance of this treasure that we have in these jars of clay. Guys, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to stand before you this morning. I pray so much that something that I said made an impact on you. If it didn't make any sense to you, I'll pray for you and you pray for me. Amen?
Let's close out with a word of prayer. God, Holy Father, you are the great I Am. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the Almighty. God, you are the Righteous One. Father, as Anthony said, God, you have made each and every one of us, each and every one of these jars of clay. God, help us to remember where the treasure is. God, help us to remember that in bad times, in tough times, in times of sickness, in great times, God, that that treasure, God, is your Son, your salvation, is being in contact with the blood, being forgiven of our sins, Father, having that hope of salvation, Father. God, we serve a resurrected Lord, God, and because of that, we have hope. God, just pray that you be with all of us as we go out today, to be like Anthony, to share our faith every day, to help other people understand where the treasure really is. God, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the way that you bless us. We thank you for your church and for the way that you lead us. We love you, Father. We pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.